And coming to you from out of the blue, here we are with episode 6 of what has been, over the course of, well, the 5 previous episodes, a really interesting, free-rolling, organic podcast experience as me, coming to you, Mike Charles, in conversation with my special guest, Victor Snyders, CEO of Skin Renewal. Well, we've been bouncing around and getting a perspective on business, on strategy, on technology, on artificial intelligence, on customer experience and finding your why. What is this? Well, it's a podcast called Renewed Thinking. It's also a live radio feature on Radio Life and Style. And I'm really excited to have Victor back in the studio with me right now as we put a cap on 6 really enlightening and informative episodes that have had a sort of an interesting quality of referencing one another and looping back. And I'm hoping we can tie it all up in a neat little bow right now for season 1. Victor, how are you today?
Excellent. And as usual, great being with you.
Fantabulous. How's your headphone volume right now?
That'll do great.
That'll do all right.
That's perfect.
We're dialing things up, and I've been really interested to hear, we just had a live radio interview, which I'm actually going to insert into this episode to sort of add an extra layer of texture and dimension. But we've been talking about your recent adventures and travels. Every time we sit down for a podcast, you've just come back from somewhere else and you've done a whole bunch of other podcasts and seminars, and you've gotten industry-leading insights into where the world is heading in terms of cutting-edge business protocols and best practices. AI, as we know, is infiltrating everything, but something that we've echoed in previous episodes and our recent live radio chat, the human touch, the human experience, and the human focus on other humans remains something that probably is still a way off from being cloned by AI, if it ever can be truly cloned. What are your thoughts?
You know, this is really a case of trying to anticipate where the world is headed. And there are warnings that come with the entire thing of AI, and we can already see the effect, not even of AI, but of, let's call it, digitalization that has happened worldwide. So if you look at a thing like education, and this was really highlighted during COVID, where instead of going to school, people were being homeschooled.
Yeah.
Which is great. You can get the knowledge, you can get the books, you can get information, but what they are not getting, these kids, is the interaction with other kids, building relationships, the battle of the playground, the who's the alpha dog in the class, how to react, how to build alliances, teams, and relationships, because they're staying at home. And their relationships are digital relationships. They send out things to someone they met on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, and they have this entire imaginary world. There's an interesting court case taking place at the moment where a kid of 14 years old who committed suicide, and they discovered that this kid had been talking to literally an AI system, to a speech generation system, and developed over a matter of 6 months to a year a very, very complex relationship. And this kid actually believed that they were talking to a real person. And when they were talking about how unhappy they were about their life, eventually the AI system actually encouraged the person indirectly to commit suicide. And the parents are now suing the company that created this. That is scary, because what is happening, and we see it in a country like Japan, where marriage rates have dropped, birth rates have dropped, the number of people who are living alone and not leaving their apartments. We don't need to leave our apartment and even go to the shops. We can call Deliveroo or Amazon or Avocado.
Whatever you want.
Or in our case, Takealot or Checkers 6060. We no longer need to interact with people. And interaction between people is what made our species what it is. It's learning to harness the energies and talents of many people working together to achieve something.
And this is at the core of how human societies and cultures have evolved over the eons. And when we look at a term like culture in this current age of people disconnecting and removing the interaction factor, when you're trying to build a company, when you're trying to build something that is going to hopefully transcend just you and your lifetime, a company culture is something that often is a buzzword that gets thrown around. What are your thoughts on building a company culture in this age that we live in, and does it present a unique challenge in the current landscape, international business landscape?
Absolutely. It was probably second to the subject of AI at the conference that I attended in Las Vegas, which was really about software that is used in our industry to manage the businesses. And the second biggest topic next to AI was company culture.
Really?
Yeah. There is an absolute desperate need. Not nearly enough thought goes into the creation of what is that culture, and how do you create it? How do you maintain it? How do you encourage it? You know, one of the things where it affected our business was with COVID. Obviously, we had people starting to do remote work, not the therapists and the doctors, because they had to see patients face to face. But a lot of our support systems operated remote because it was the law and that was the way things were being done then. As COVID ended, people suddenly were not returning to the office. And we've seen the growth of the gig economy, remote work. Italy has just created a thing where you can now get a remote worker visa. And if you have contracts that mean you're employed, you can come and live in Italy, learn Italian, do whatever, live in your apartment in Milan, and work for a company in San Francisco, and you will get a visa and be allowed into Italy. And if you do that for 5 years and you remain employed, you can get Italian citizenship.
Man.
So now there's this sort of thing happening. Even in South Africa, the Department of Home Affairs is now looking at a remote worker visa to encourage people from elsewhere in the world who are earning dollars or pounds or euros to actually live in Cape Town and operate remotely. The problem with all of that is, and we saw it in our business, is that the level of communication actually decreased.
Decreased?
Decreased, because people were communicating on Zoom meetings. Very often the camera was off, and when the camera was on, you could see the face, but you couldn't read the body language, or they were sending emails.
Ah.
Or they were using systems like Slack and Teams and whatever to communicate with each other. And people would not communicate. And the best communication is face-to-face. If I do a talk or a podcast or something, I want to sit opposite you. It will be far more effective seeing you, seeing how you react, and likewise you for me, than if we're doing it over Zoom or if we're doing it over a telephone. Because gotcha. That's a limiting factor. Or we can just, you send me a list of questions, I'll send you a list of answers and you can print it. It loses that interaction. And when you are dealing with people face-to-face, as has happened in our talks, the conversation ebbs and flows. It takes on directions of its own. And you don't have that freedom to go off course and go back on course and tie things together when you are using the mechanical ways or the digital ways of doing that, because you don't pick up the cues.
Well, this is the thing. You just off air played me an incredible demo of an AI generated podcast between two virtual hosts examining some information that was fed into them. It sounds incredibly lifelike, but because it is only a virtual creation, the serendipity of what we're doing right now and the way this thing is evolving as we're doing it live, you reach this interesting space where, just because the end result sounds really like the reality that we're used to. Don't mistake the underpinnings or how it got there for the incredibly complex ways that the human brain operates. And when it comes to a company culture and trying to create a company that has a living, breathing human soul at the center of it, how have you intentionally set things up within your own organization to make sure that even as you're adopting AI tools and trying to integrate technology in a smart and ethical and measured manner, that you are always keeping the human hand on the wheel and on the wheel of culture?
So one of the first things is that the company was built on a system of support. We inverted the traditional pyramid. The traditional pyramid has a CEO sitting at the top, and then some people below that and more people below that, and it has a number of levels. And if you go into very large corporations, they may have 20 or 30 different levels, and those confer status.
Yeah.
And the higher you go on the pyramid, the more you earn, and you have more people that report to you.
It's kind of military in that sense.
It's built exactly like the military function, and there's a general, and then he calls in the captains, and then the captains call in the lieutenants, and they call in the sergeants, and the troops get sent to get themselves blown up. And in many corporates, it is the people at the base of the pyramid that are the people who are facing the flak, to use the military analogy that I created. And they're the people that are getting killed, not the generals. And in corporates, they are also the scapegoats for when things go wrong, and everything. And, you know, there's the old saying that shit flows downhill. And in a corporate culture, it does. If something goes wrong, we look down, 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 down until we can find someone to blame who becomes the scapegoat, and then they're eliminated from the system. But it's very seldom that responsibility goes upwards. So what we did is and this was an intentional thing 15, 20 years ago, where we inverted the pyramid. And we said the job of the CEO, which is now the fulcrum of the inverted pyramid, is to support the entire business.
Wow.
It's not to manage the people below him, because he has everyone above him. The most important people are the people at the coalface. They're at the top of the inverted pyramid. And when the level below them, their job is to support them and give them what they need to do what they have to do. Hmm. And each lower step in this inverted pyramid has to create this system of support. So one of the cultures that we've always had is we have to accept people the way that they are. And life is complicated. Somebody who's coming to work and whose spouse is in hospital intensive care, or whose dog just got run over, or had an accident on the way to work, or is a sick child, is not functioning at 100%. To say to that person, when you arrive at work, leave your personal life on the doorstep, and I want you completely focused on work, is not real.
But there are companies that operate like that, or that have that attitude.
And we accept people the way they are. What we do expect from them is to say, I have an issue.
So communicate. Okay. Let us know.
Communicate. You don't have to give me the detail of the argument you had with your spouse last night. Okay? But say, today I am not at my best. I need support. I need space, time, money, leave, counseling, or whatever. Make yourself vulnerable so that we can support you. You can't, if you want to pick up someone who's lying on the ground who doesn't want to get picked up, you're picking up a dead weight. It's exceptionally difficult.
Yeah.
The moment they assist even slightly in being picked up, it becomes much easier to lift them because it's no longer a dead weight. So people who make themselves supportable, you can support. So we try to build that culture into the company. And it happens every day in our business. We have at the moment around 240 staff. There's someone who's not at their best.
And that's, I mean, you look at any organization, even a sports team, you know, there's someone's always carrying injury somewhere, someone's dealing with something. You're never going to have an A team, everyone at 100%.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. One of our staff members, a couple of weeks back, she's got a 6-7 year old son who developed a medical problem that was affecting his vision, and it was fluid on the brain, and it was a very complex thing and came absolutely out of nowhere. It wasn't related to trauma or anything. It just happened. And this kid had to go in. Their vision is impaired, blinding headaches. They've got to go through lumbar punctures. And she has to inject the kid every single day. They were trying to thin the blood. They were trying to do all sorts of things. A very complex situation and very, very concerning as a parent.
Yeah.
She simply put a post out on our WhatsApp group and said, guys, please understand that at the moment I'm under enormous stress and pressure. She didn't go into the detail of it, but just bear with me. If I respond to you and I sound slightly aggressive or stressed, or I don't respond to you in the time that you want, please understand, I just need some time and understanding while I deal with this stuff. And the level of support she got from the people in the company was actually phenomenal and helped her get through a difficult situation. And the situation has improved dramatically. But if we had simply said, I don't care what's happening with your son, there's a job to do, and get on with it, that work would not have been at the quality that we would have expected. So we made a plan and worked around the situation. And once you have that as a company culture where people honestly care about each other, yeah, about their well-being, about their mental health, about their financial thing, we have staff that come to us all the time who are engaging in a financial transaction. They're buying their first house.
Okay.
That contract that where they buy that first house is probably the biggest contract they will sign in their life, or certainly up until that point of their life. And they need advice. So they bring it to us, and we will look through the contract, and we will give them the right kind of advice so that they don't get ripped off. Same when they buy a car.
Wow.
When they are looking at investment, when they're looking at life insurance, when they're looking at buying a cell phone, okay? If every 2 years you simply, after the phone call saying, you're due for an upgrade, you take those upgrades, you're going to be paying a lot of money. The fact of the matter is your phone works fine and you might not need an upgrade. You maybe need it 2 years after that.
Yeah.
But you don't just simply take on those burdens. So we provide a lot of life assistance to the people in the company in terms of legal, emotional, financial advice to help them with the challenges. And we've got some very smart people. And amongst 240 people in the company, we have been through most things that you will go through in the human experience. And we can learn from each other and support each other getting through that. When people say, what are you most proud of in having created this company? There's three particular things that stand out for us. Number one, 72 babies have been born in this business.
Wow.
I have 71 people who've been with the company for more than 10 years. And I have 16 people who've been with the company for more than 15 years, and the company's 19 years old. Those three elements are the things we're most proud of. Not the number of patients we've seen, not what the revenue is, not what the profits are, but it's the effect we've had on the people that actually work. Because if we can create those kind of statistics, we must be doing something right.
Wow. You know what? And you, just as you're explaining this, I'm getting kind of emotional, and I think it's got to do with the fact that this is human lives you're talking about, and a community that you're creating, you have created. And when you're trying to define what is a company culture, what could a company culture be, and you explain how you've got the self-supporting community that cares, that really does care about the lives and the success and the prosperity of one another, and understands that there's going to be life that's going to happen. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be times where we need to lean on each other, and we need to rally around each other, and we need to carry the load for each other. And we're going to do it. And we're going to do it as a company, and we're going to do it for the long haul. When you have that kind of support, that kind of, it's quote unquote family or community, but it also happens to be the place that you go to work. I mean, that's got a, that's, and the numbers you've just mentioned, that that level of loyalty and retention, I guess that's what the corporate labels would be for something like that. But at the end of the day, it's, of course people would want to stick around in a space like that, because it's, it is rare. It's not every organization that has that attitude.
You know, I've lived in corporate cultures. When I was working in corporate, when I set up my first business at the age of 32, I followed the recipe of most corporates. And it didn't work. It wasn't sustainable.
Yeah.
Because the rate and the churn that we had on people coming in, going out, having to be retrained, investing in the training, and then they'd go again and go again. And there was a culture of blame. There was a culture of accusing. There was a culture of over-managing people, micromanaging people, to every last degree, which was oppressive. It felt like being in the army. I did 2 years of national service, and believe me, in the army, you follow the chain of command.
That's how that thing works.
That is absolutely sacrosanct. And when we set up Skin Renewal, it was really a discussion of, we've tried doing things according to those systems. Let's try something different. And there are great examples of companies that do care and that have been very, very successful.
And we mentioned it, I think, in one of our previous episodes, the famous Raymond Ackerman quote, that doing good is good business. And it's not a cynical way to look at it. It just, it's a fact. If you take care of your people and you walk the talk and you invert the pyramid, I think that's a phenomenal model and something that you could replicate no matter what size of business you are setting up or running. If you look at the responsibility as being on your shoulders as the, what would have been the top of the pyramid, now you're the inverted bottom of the pyramid, and you're there to support every level above you, and every level supports every level above it. That's, it's like a paradigm shift, but it's powerful. It doesn't actually change anyone's job, but it changes the way you look at your job.
But if you remember when I said the pyramid, the normal way, shit flows downhill.
Yeah.
With the inverted pyramid, it also flows downhill.
It still flows downhill.
But gravity. It all flows to the person who's supporting the pyramid.
Yeah.
So every problem is their problem at the bottom of the pyramid, because that's the fulcrum. You know, Richard Branson, you quoted Raymond Ackerman, but Richard Branson also said it. If you look after people, they will look after your customers. If you don't look after your people, your customers won't be looked after. And if your customers aren't looked after, then the business is in trouble.
Wow. Well, I think having gone across a whole bunch of episodes now and touched on strands and threads that we've been able to sort of weave together and circle back to on various other episodes, to be ending here with a very human-centric, culture-focused chat, I think it's the perfect moment in business, wherever you are in the world, if you're listening to this, to be looking at how is your pyramid structured. Because chances are, just by default, without planning it or meaning for it to end up this way, it's probably a fairly conventional, bottom-heavy, pointy-top kind of structure, because that seems to be the factory setting. But with an intentional flip of the triangle and looking up and expecting stuff to flow back towards you at the bottom, just that the headspace that gives you might be the thing that gives you the edge in the next chapter of the 2020s that we're heading into. Victor, it certainly served your company well over the course of its life up until now, and things don't seem like they're slowing down. In fact, they seem like they're going from strength to strength.
Well, the world is moving faster and faster. You know, I have a WhatsApp group with the people that I used to be at university with back in the 1970s. And we were reflecting. And in the 1960s, if you wanted to make a telephone call, you got the operator. And you got the operator to make the call and put you through. Where are we today with phone calls? Where are we with so many things? The rate at which the world has changed from the 1960s and 70s to now, 50, 60 years later, which in the overall scheme of things, 60 years is a blink. And the rate of change has been rapid and increasing and is continuing to increase even faster. It's like running on a hamster wheel. And you run faster and faster, and the wheel goes faster and faster, and you have to keep running faster and faster just to keep up with the wheel. You know, the concept, I've got kids who live overseas, and I now talk to them regularly, and we're in contact. 40 years ago, I would not have been able to do that.
That would have been out of your life, basically.
Eh? Yes, when my parents immigrated from Holland, and they came here, they were out of contact. If they wanted to be in contact with their parents, they wrote a letter. And then they waited for 3 weeks that letter to arrive at the other end of the world. And then if it was responded to straight away, another 3 weeks until they got the letter back. And that was communication.
Wow.
And now we talk to each other on Zoom.
Face to face on the other side of the world.
And it's but a small example. And the world is really accelerating. And as we were talking off air before, it is not the desire to evolve, but it is more a defensive thing. You had a lovely saying, only the paranoid survive. And I thought that encapsulated it beautifully, because if you do not keep up with the trends that are happening in the world, you will become irrelevant. So it's more from a defensive position that we try to evolve and do things just to stay relevant.
Well, you're certainly doing a good job, I would say. And while you're keeping your eye on that moving target, there are some fundamentals that still ring true and are staying the test of time. We've touched on many of them here on this podcast. Finding your why. And being there to serve not just your customers, but the people in your business who are directly at the coal face, as you say. And I think there are so many nuggets of gold in the episodes of this batch of podcasts that we've put out, this renewed thinking. In fact, I was listening over one of our early episodes this week and pulling some quotes that I scribbled down. And oh, that's a real good one. I'm going to come back to that because you've got a real perspective on things, and you continue to be a source of inspiration. Every time I have a chat with you, I pick up something new to investigate or do research on, and I can't wait to see where the journey, the skin renewal journey, continues to take you. I know that you're about to embark on your own exciting media production adventure, and there are soon going to be a host of videos bouncing around on YouTube, a part of a new thing called the Renewal Diaries. Did I get it right?
You got it right.
So we'll be hopefully featuring and discussing more of this kind of stuff in the not-too-distant future. But for now, for this episode, for this sixth outing on Renewed Thinking, it's been a real pleasure connecting with you, Victor. And thanks again for opening your brain and your heart to us on the podcast, and looking forward to having another engaging conversation with you really soon. What do you say?
Absolutely, always available.
You heard it here on Renewed Thinking.